MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
This podcast is brought to you by Stainlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. I'm chatting with Dina Sokola from Westbrook Alternative Asset Management. Dina, appreciate the time. You and I chat often. We're talking alternative investments. We're talking private credit, private equity. My sense is, having chatted to you over the course of the year, that we're seeing a market locally in South Africa, which perhaps has been a little light on private equity, private credit, and they kind of coming to the party.
Yeah, thanks, Simon. I always appreciate the time. Good to chat. I think you're completely correct. I mean, if you look at our average client here in South Africa, and maybe to take a step back, Westbrook's mission is to provide a client with access to the global world of alternatives or private markets, as I prefer to refer to them. I'd say that most clients are somewhere between 0 and maybe 5-10% allocated to alternatives. And I think, at least on the client side of Westbrook's business, what we've seen this year is significant demand and capital flows for our alternative investment mandates and strategies. To give you a sense, we now manage more than 13 billion rand in assets under management. And this is on behalf of about 3,000 direct private clients, about 120 wealth management businesses around the world, and also a variety of local and offshore institutions. So certainly, part of the theme this year has been a growing demand and appetite for alternatives. And just as an anecdote, Simon, this is not different to the international trend. Earlier this year, JP Morgan released their 2024 Global Family Office Survey and reported that globally around the world, large family offices now allocate an average of about 46% of their total portfolios to alternatives. And just as an interesting side, 26% was the number that was allocated on average to publicly traded stocks.
And it is, I mean, there's a lot of attraction. Part of it is return. Part of it is our global markets are so dominated by tech, and tech is great, but you want something else in it. And that lack of correlation is hugely important as well. There's a liquidity constraint, but if you manage your investments well, the liquidity almost becomes unimportant.
Yeah, well, I see the liquidity. So you're 100% correct. And, you know, one of the biggest trade-offs in alternatives is the fact that if you want your money out tomorrow, you can't get it out.
Yeah.
I see the liquidity to be a feature and not a downside to alternatives, if that makes sense. Why? Because most investors are subject to the time-old issue of buying high and selling low. And for me, I enjoy to be locked in for a period of time because I think that it allows for better long-term decision-making across the board. So that's the first point. The second point, which I think is very interesting, is we surveyed our client base earlier this year and we said to them, why do you allocate to alternatives? Mm-hmm. And interestingly, one would think that higher absolute value returns would have been, you know, the primary reason cited for allocating. But in actual fact, that was third on the list. The first two were around lack of correlation and diversification away. And that's exactly the point that you raised, Simon. I mean, in South Africa, it hasn't been that different on the JSE to the US markets, where the markets have shrunk in terms of the total number of listed companies over the last 30 years, but the market cap has gone up.
Then it comes to the investments themselves, local, offshore. Let's start with local. I mean, there are. I mean, the big market, of course, is the offshore, and at Westbrook, it is your private credit in the UK. What's the local investment landscape looking like?
Yeah, so the investment side, Simon, certainly more tricky this year than the client demand side. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at it, Westbrook has got, we operate now in South Africa, the UK and the USA. Mm-hmm. Over the past 12 months, we've seen elections take place in all three geographies in which we invest. And I think the theme for the year is that interest rates, although finally on the way down, have remained stubbornly high. This has meant that earnings growth in many of the businesses we've looked at have been muted, and especially for businesses that are highly geared, you know, a lot of cash flow is being used to service debt as opposed to be invested into growth. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't been an easy environment, I'd say, to originate asymmetric investment opportunities across the capital stack. In South Africa, a tale of two halves. We had probably one of the worst economic environments in our country in Q4 last year, Q1 this year. Mm. Then we had GNU. And post-GNU, we've seen entrepreneurs and capital flows flow back into the country in a big way. I think our private debt funds will benefit from this because obviously in order for us to provide either senior debt or hybrid capital or some kind of clever mezzanine funding structure, you need entrepreneurs to be doing things. So I'd say that whilst the private debt funds were relatively quiet for the first half of this year, certainly more active in the second. And another area where we've been very, very active locally is in 12B, which, as you'll know, is a tax-enhanced investment structure into the renewable energy space. Over the last 18 months, we've invested about 450 million rand into the space across 65 deals. And interestingly, many investors will ask us, not really on the back of load shedding anymore, but more on the back of what has been spoken around a 35% potential NERSA increase this year. So entrepreneurs in South Africa increasingly looking for stable and reliable sources of electricity that are diversified away from the incumbent Eskom grid.
That's a good point. I might not be wanting to put solar on my house anymore because now Eskom can give me, as you point out, very expensive electricity. But for a business, they view it differently. As you say, it's green, it's cheap, and there's still that demand there, even if household demand has faded. But I imagine household was not something you were particularly interested in with respect.
Yeah, look, the household space in solar is nice because they typically, those installations include batteries. And what you'll see is that batteries, the cost of batteries in comparison to the cost of rooftop panels and equipment is much higher. So as an asset manager, that's great because you can get to deploy more capital into opportunities more quickly. Whereas the typical rooftop systems that are grid tied are not as expensive. But as you say, Simon, very much a corporate investment focus for us. Into businesses that are saying, look, the grid is perhaps now electrified, but it is unstable. Mm. We go through long periods where we don't have electricity, and we're looking for a guaranteed escalation that is lower than the 35% I referred to earlier, with more stability.
Yeah, I take point. And the grid is old. You might not have load shedding. You just have power outages. And offshore markets, I mean, you've got that giant fund in the UK, in the private credit space. There is, you know, rates are coming down. My sense is that government rates, central bank rates, are not going to come as fast or as low as we might have all thought some months ago. Perhaps the Trump election has something to do with that. But this is another boom space, both from the business demand, but also from client demand.
Yeah, as you say, Simon. So in the UK, the flagship is Westbrook Hill Plus, which is a secured private credit fund that generally lends against real estate. It's been really popular this year. We're pushing on £200 million of gross assets under management. And to give you a sense, the fund delivers, call it 7-9% in sterling. Mm-hmm. As you say, interest rates coming down, which does mean that the fund returns will go down. But I think it's important to remember that people look at cash returns as a spread over what they can earn in comparative areas, be it in bonds or cash or fixed income. And that spread doesn't go away. Another thing that we've done is we've moved about half of the loans in the portfolio into fixed rate debt. And so there's a little bit of a natural sort of interest rate protection built in. What we have seen, though, is that, again, on the back of entrepreneurs being more active with interest rates coming down, our hybrid capital business, which does more in the world of sort of pref and mezz, as I mentioned earlier, has been really active. We've fully invested our fund in the UK, which has got about £40 million under management in that fund across 7 or 8 investment opportunities. And so I think next year, something we'll be talking to clients about is a second hybrid capital fund. And then moving across very briefly into the USA, we've got an on-the-ground team there who've got real skill in the world of real estate. We've not done much in real estate equity in the US, probably for 3 years now. But what we're finally starting to see there is, with interest rates cooling, with a, you know, call it a friendly political environment, and finally with some seller expectations and pricing cooling, for the first time in a long time, we've seen attractive investment opportunities in the real estate space. We focus specifically in residential, in multifamily, and in mobile home parks. And so I think the plan in the US from a Westbrook perspective next year, firstly, very much to cautiously re-enter the real estate space. And then secondly, to begin to build out a private credit capability, sort of similar to what our investors have come to be accustomed to from Westbrook in the UK.
Yeah, okay. And offering a whole different angle on it. We'll leave it there. That's Dennis Sokolo, Westbrook Alternative Asset Management. Always appreciate the insights. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions.